Okay, we start here at the top of Kuf Yud Gimel and Aleph, right by the completion of the Mishnah. We start with the Gemara. So the Mishnah had mentioned that even if one had done the Para Duma Chutz Migita, then you're still not Chayav Shchutei Chutz. So Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, the Chutz Migita? Samar Yish Lakish, Chutz Mimakom Badukla. It's outside of the place that was checked for it. Now, checked for it means that it was checked for tum'ah, to make sure and to ensure that there was no kever to home, there was no unknown kever underneath that would have projected tum'ah into that location. So they checked it to make sure that the location they were doing it in was absolutely clear of tum'ah tamet. So Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan, alo kol Eretz Yisrael bedukahi. What do you mean? What do you mean about this location? Doesn't all of Eretz Yisrael have a chazoka that it's bedukahi, that it's cleared out, that there is no kever to home? Elo Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kegon sheshoch. He shechted it inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Why does Rabbi Yochanan go as far as to say that the case here that we're speaking about in the Mishnah is a case where he shechted the Parah Adumah inside the walls of Yerushalayim? In order for the Parah Adumah to not be in the right location, all you have to do is shecht it shalok neged apetach. Lo keneged apetach means the petach ha'ulam. The Parah Adumah was done on Har HaZeitim keneged petach ha'ulam. And if you don't do it there, if you don't do it in its proper location, then that's enough to be out of location. Why does he need you to go all the way back inside the walls of Yerushalayim? Damar Rav Ada Bar Ava, shochta shelo keneged petach. If he does the shkita not keneged petach, ona psula shneamar, because there's a juxtaposition, a hekesh in the pasuk between v'shachat v'hiza. In the pasuk, the only demand to be petach omleid is mahazata keneged petach. When you do the hazaot of the para adumah, they have to be done keneged petach omleid. But juxtaposed to that is the word shachat. So it's v'shachat v'hiza, that you must do the shechita in the same place that you did the hazaah. So mahazata keneged petach, av shechitata keneged petach. Just like the hazaot are done keneged petach, so too the shechita must be done keneged petach. Therefore, just the move out of the location that's keneged petach would have been enough to be out of its position. Why is Rabbi Yochanan again demanding that it be inside the Chumat Yerushalayim? The Gemara says v'chitei malo mekish. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of this hekesh. Va'itmar, and now I'm going to skip down, around, skipping these parentheses. Tosfos over here says that, based on this question, that the original Hekesh was also Hizav Saraf, but we'll go with the Gersa that we have, which is Va'itmar, Sarfa Shalo Keneged HaPetach. If he did the Sreifa Shalo Keneged HaPetach, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula. Rabbi Yochanan says it's no good. Rabbi Oshi Amar Kshera. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula. Why does he say Psula? Because it says Visaraf Vihiza. Saraf Hiza. Again, here, the juxtaposition of the word Saraf to Hiza. So just like Hiza requires Keneged Petach Omeid, so too does the Sreifa require Petach Omeid. Based on this, Tosfos says maybe the girsa before should have been also shenemar v'saraf v'hiza. Hekesh over there v'saraf v'hiza, and then Tosfos says, well, the girsa that we have, but then how do we get the shechita? Is that maybe because they're all in a package? If you learn v'saraf v'hiza, then you should also learn v'shachat v'hiza. All right, but the basic idea is that v'hiza has a demand for petach u'moed. Shechita and sreifa are found there in the pasuk. Those verbs are also found juxtaposed to v'hiza, and the idea would be that we'd extrapolate the din of v'hiza, which is that it must be connected to u'moed, and we'll apply that to Visaraf and to Vishachat. So we see Rabbi Yochanan does do that. He does apply that. He takes the word Saraf and he connects it to Vizah. So he equally should have done that with Shechita. Rabbi Oshi Amar Kshira says, Al Pirsha Yisrof, that you burn it on its waist, over its waist. So Makom Sheporeshet Lemita, the place where it dies, Shamte Yisrofata, that's where you burn it. Now that should be the same as Shechita, but not necessarily, because an animal can be Mefarkes, right? Can it bounce around, it can move a little bit after Shechita, so therefore there might be a difference between the Makom HaShechita, which has to be connected to Petach HaMoed, and the Makom Shepirsha Lemita, where you would do this Reifa. But nevertheless, what we do see here is Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to this Hekesh. It means that if he just did it Shalo connected Petach HaMoed, that would have been enough to be out of place. Again, why does he demand that it be inside the walls of Yisrael? So Amrei Lo Mi Bayi Kamar. Rabbi Yochanan is making a statement, Lo Mi Bayi Chutz Luchoma Derechukei Rechaka. I don't need you you to tell me outside of the walls of Yerushalayim if he didn't do a keneged petach, which is far, far away. Ela afilu lifnim min achoma dekruve garva, but inside the walls, maybe because he brought it close enough, ema tit kasher, should be kasher, kamash malan, that it doesn't work. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's clear to me that if you don't do a keneged petach omoed outside the walls, then what anchors this paraduma? There's nothing anchoring in the paraduma in terms of its connection to the mikdash. So therefore, I know it's for sure pasul. What I would have thought, the havamina is, that's only because when it's done chutz mishlosh machanot, when it's done outside the walls of Yerushalayim, there I need to anchor it to the kodesh. And how do I do that? I do keneged petach omoed. But if I brought it back in inside the walls of Yerushalayim, maybe I no longer need that anchor of keneged petach omoed. The fact that I'm inside Yerushalayim, that I'm towards the mikdash, maybe that would be sufficient. The kamash lan is no. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. That's not enough to be considered anchored, and that's considered to be out of place. Despite that fact, it's still not considered shchutei chutz, but it's not good enough to make it kasher if I do it inside the walls of Yerushalayim. In summary, we just had the opinions of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. What does it mean, chutz migita? Rabbi Reish Lakish says chutz migita means chutz from the makom that was baduk, that was checked in order to ensure there was no tumah there. Even if you do it outside of the location and it's not a kasher para aduma, nevertheless, it's not considered or classified to be chutei chutz, and you would not be chayav for that. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, thinks that chutz mimikoma means inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Yes, he believes that if you don't do a keneged petach omoed, that's also outside of its location. But he says, there I would have known. That's easy to understand. Ram explains to you that there's a bigger chiddush. Even inside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's still considered to be chutz mimikoma. And again, you will not be chayav shchutei chutz when you don't do it in the proper location.
No, it's just a puzzle.
Okay, so that's a good question. Tosfos over here asks, wait a minute, let's think about this para aduma, and we're going to get to it in the latter half of today's daf. For instance, on Yom HaKippurim, where you have the Shnei Si'irim, the Gemara in Yoma says that the Shnei Si'irim, if you do Shchutei Chutz on them, you're Chayav before you do the Agrolah. When you take out the two Si'irim, you're Chayav. Why? Because you could have used either one of them for the Si'ir and the Sebachutz. Could he use them for the Seir Musafim, which is a Chatat. Since they were only for the Karban, not the Karbanot that they're going to be designated and used for, but nevertheless, it could have been taken and used for Seir Chutz. So he says over here, let's think about this. This Para Aduma is a Parat Mima. It has to be Parat Mima, and it could be used for another Karban, meaning a Karban Shlamim. Why is it that we have over here that all of a sudden it's Psula when he does it in the wrong location? When he does it in the wrong location, there's nothing that says that it's a Para Aduma at that point.
Hazmana.
So you're saying Hazmana, it's a little more than that. Says that the para aduma is kodshe berak habayit. We saw that earlier in the Masechta. It is not kodshe mizbeach, but it is kodshe berak habayit. It's purchased with the monies of the tzibur in order to make it kodshe berak habayit. Now, what are you going to use the korban for? It's a para. Para would only be used for a shlamim. There are no shalmei tzibur except for once a year on Shavuot. So what are you going to do with this para? How are you going to take something that belongs to the tzibur and now make it into a korban that would have been kasher? It has to be Ra'ui the Petach Omoed. To be Ra'ui the Petach Omoed has to be used for a Korban that would have been in Petach Omoed, and then you don't use it. So here, the Para Aduma has two problems with it. One of them, number one, it's Kodshei Bedek Abayit, which maybe you can't switch to Kodshei Mizbeach. And number two is, it's owned by the Tzibur. It's owned by the Tzibur. We're talking about Olah, you're talking about a Chatat that the Tzibur uses on a regular basis. You're talking about Shlamim of the Tzibur. That's not something that's used on a regular basis by the Tzibur. And therefore, you can't change it over to be something that would be Ra'ui the Petach Omoed. It also brings in a couple of other answers. One of them he brings is, says Yesh Lamar the Lo Domi. That's not compared to the cases by the Seirim. The Yachol Mishnotam the Ein Aleim Kriyat Shem Hashat Hagrala. They don't have a Kriyat Shem until the Hagrala, as opposed to the Para Aduma, who has a Kriyat Shem, which would be what you were answering before. That's Mana. The fact that you were Koreit Para Aduma, you already designated, you can't remove it. The Od Dein Karban Shetei Para Zuru Uya. There's Para cannot be any other Karban. The Ishlamim in Shlamim B'Tzibur. So that was what I just explained before. And the other one is the Od the Para Kodesh Berakabaiti. Then Yachol Mishnotam the Kodesh Mizbeach. Once it became Kodesh Berakabaiti, you can't swap it over to be Kodshei Mizbeach. So those are the three answers that Tosfos gives. Why over here, the Para Aduma, once you do it in the wrong location, is no longer Ro'ui the Petach Omoed, and that's why you will not be Chayav in these cases. Now, the Gemara comes back to discuss, what was the Machlokis? Amar Mar, Amar Lo Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, Alo Kol Eretz Yisrael Badukahi. Isn't all of Israel cleared out of Tumah? But Maika Miflegei. What's the Machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Now here we're talking about Kever Tehom. Kever Tehom, which is unknown Tumah because of Kfarim that were lost, that we don't don't know about. So Mar Savar, Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish believes the Mabul came to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there were bodies dispersed there that are going to be unknown to us. Umar Savar and Rabbi Yochanan holds Lo Yarad, that the Mabul never got to Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rab Nachman Yitzchak, Hushnei Amirka, Echad Dorshu. They both were Doresh, the single Pasuk in Yechezkel. Over here, Yechezkel is chastising the people, saying what's going to happen to Yerushalayim because of the iniquities and the avlot, the misdeeds of the people of the city of Yerushalayim. It says, Ben Adam, speaking to Yechezkel, Emor La, say to Yerushalayim, At Eretz Lo Mitahora. You are a land that is not clean, that is unclean. He Lo Gushma B'Yom Zam. That does not rain there on the day of anger, the day of indignation. That's the Pasuk. Now, if you read the simple Pasuk, it doesn't tell you anything. They're both reading in it in a way that it makes it somewhat rhetorical, the question, which is, Rabbi Yochanan Savar, it's mu'e matmakra. The Pasuk is written as an exclamation. Eretzrael, mi lo mitahora? Is it Israel not tahor? Et klum y'alecha gashimim b'yom z'am? Did rain really fall upon you on the day of z'am? I mean, it's asking it as a rhetorical question of not a statement of fact that at Eretz lo mitahora, you are an unclean land, but rather rhetorical statements, but of exclamation. At Eretz lo mitahora? You are a land that's not clean? Of course you're clean. The rain didn't fall upon you on the day of Zam, meaning on the day of the Mabul, the rain didn't come down. Therefore, the exclamation is, At Eretz lo mitahora? You're not a land that is clean? Of course you're clean, because the rain never came there in the time of the Mabul.
Is a goy coming mace the same as a Jew? Obviously before
Sinai. And so there's no Tumat Ohel by a guy. Didn't think about that. That's a good question. I don't have a good answer for you. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Tumim Tahor Krah, the Pasuk is an exclamation. Eretzel, Milo, Tumim Torah. Isn't Yisrael clearly Tahor? Klum Yardu Alecha Kishamim B'Yom Zam. The rain obviously did not fall on you during the day of the Mabul. Rezulakir Savar Kipashtei. It's really a simple pshat. Eretzel, Mitorat. You are not a clean land. I mean, that's a statement. Then, Milo Yardu Alecha Kishamim B'Yom Zam. Didn't the rains fall upon you on the day of anger? I mean, that means the Mabul came on the day of anger. So here, the Rabbi Yochanan is reading the first statement as the exclamation or the rhetorical question, and Rabbi Yishlak is reading the second statement as the rhetorical question, and they come to opposite conclusions. Rabbi Yochanan believes there was no Mabul there, whereas Yishlak does believe that the Mabul was there. Eitz ve Yishlak is Rabbi Yochanan. Chatzirot ayu b'Yerushalayim bnuyot ala sela. They had these courtyards, houses built in Yerushalayim that were built on bedrock. Itachayim chalul, and they used to make an empty space. They were put up on stilts of sorts in an empty space. Because of the fear of kever to home, meaning that unknown kvarim that were inside of Yerushalayim, umevi'in nashim ubarot, they bring pregnant women viodot, and they give birth in these houses, umegadlot sham b'nehem lepara, and they bring up their children there to be service of para aduma. First of all, of course, they are tuma yoledet, and they are tumat nida, so they have all these other tumaot that are associated with them. But the two things that they wanted to protect against, one was tumat mate, because that requires azash. So they didn't want to have to deal with that. And here you're doing the Parah Aduma. So they didn't want to be involved with any Tumat HaMeit. So that's number one. And number two is, they did not want any Tumah HaYotzei Migufo. Tumah that came out of the body itself. Those are two more Chamur Tumot. Tumah that emanates from your body. And Tumat HaTehom or Tumat Meit, where you require Hazad Shlishi Ushvi. So therefore what they did was they protected these children from ever coming in contact with Tumat HaMeit. They did this by building putting them in a house that was put on stilts, because the house itself, the empty space under it, creates an ohel, and that ohel will protect the tumah from coming up into the house above. So the children in the house protected from the tumah below. In addition, they would only use the children until the age of 9 years old. Once they were 9 years old, they were kicked out, because at that point they could have the possibility of being a balkeri, having a semen omission. Until that point in time, they were used. After 9 years old, they were kicked out of the house. So now, once they had to take them, they grew up in the house, and now they wanted to take them to Mekadesh the Parah. Mivin Shvarim, they bring these oxen, Balgabehem, and they put these planks or these doors on their back, but basically to create an ohel underneath them. They sit on top of these planks, this wood cover, so that would be the ohel again to protect them from the tumah when they're leaving this house, going to draw the water for the parah tumah. Because so shall even be adan, and they use stone cups because they are not mekabel tumah. And they from there they draw the water, and then they sit, they draw the water while sitting on top of these shvarim. Purim in their place, so they again will not be in contact with any Tumar Safek Tumah. But you do see is, this was done in Yerushalayim, and here they are protecting these children from Tumat Tehom inside of Yerushalayim. So Reish Lakish's question of Yochanan is, what do you mean Eretz Yisrael B'dukahi? How do you know that Eretz Yisrael cleaned it out? And what are they doing all this tekes, all this ceremony with the Para Adumah if Eretz Yisrael is totally cleared out? So Amar Rav Huna B'rei de Rabbi Shua Mala Asu B'Para. It was a special situation by the Para. They gave it a special status. Mi'ikar Adin, they weren't worried about Tumat Tehom. But they did all this extra because by the Para Adumah there was a machloket between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. The Prushim believed that a Para Adumah could be done by a Tvoyom. The Tzdukim believed that a Para Adumah could only be done by a Herib Shemesh, someone that was already had the sun set on them. So it had to be after nightfall. So Chazal went out of their way to disprove the Tzdukim. They used to be Mitamei, the Kohen Gadol that was Osek with Para Adumah. They used to put him Tumat Sheretz. Tumat Sheretz was Tumat Yom. And then they used to go take him to the Mikveh. He became then at that point a Tvoyom. A Tvoyom, which according to Chazal was good for the Para Adumah, but according to the Tzdukim was no good because he still needed Herev Shemesh. And they used to do the Para Adumah. So since they were Mikil with the Gavei Tumah in order to make him into Tvoyom, on the other end they were Machmir with a lot of other things to show or to make sure that the people were not being Mikil in the Tumata Para Adumah. So these Ma'alot, these extras that they did for the Para Adumah was in order to offset the Tumah that was applied to him to make him into a Tvoyom. So that's why it was Malah Asuba Para, which is not, it wasn't Mikar Adin. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan now challenges Reish Lakish. Pam achad, matzu atzamot v'lishkat dir ha'itzim. At one point they found bones in the chamber of wood inside of the Mikdash. Ubikshu l'gzor tumal Yerushalayim. And they wanted to make Yerushalayim all tamei. They found, all of a sudden they found bones here. What are they going to do? It's inside the Mikdash. Forget about anywhere else. They found these bones. Now they're going to be tumah everywhere. Amad Rabbi Yeshua al raglava amar lo bushau chlimahi lanush nigzar tumal yavuteinu. Isn't it an indignation, an embarrassment that we will cause this or now declare that our Iravoteinu, the city of our forefathers, will be now Tamei, our capital city, the Bira, where the Mikdash is, we're going to make it all Tamei? He says, Ayei Meitei Mabul, Ayei Meitei Nebuchadnezzar. Until this point, where were all the people that died in the Mabul? Where were all the people that died at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar? Mitekamar Hochi, since Rabbi Yeshua posed the question this way, Lav the Memra de Lohavu, obviously he meant that they weren't there. Meaning that there were no Meitei Mabul there, there were no Meitei Nebuchadnezzar. We didn't find anything until now. This is a Yotzei Dolphin, this is Harig, this is an unusual circumstance. We've never had a problem in Yerushalayim before. All of a sudden this problem arises. We're not going to be gozer tuman everything because of this one unusual case. He goes, look, we don't see any Meitei Mabul here. We don't see any Meitei Bunecha. It's clear that there's no Tumah here. So Ula Tameich, the Gemara says, wait a minute. According to your questioning, Reish Lakish says, Haruge Nebuchadnezzar Hachanami to Lohavu? What are you telling me? Oh, Meitei Mabul means the fact that he said there are no Meitei Mabul means it never happened. What are you going to tell me about Meitei Nebuchadnezzar never happened? We know that Nebuchadnezzar slaughtered people over there. There were unlimited numbers of people that were killed inside of Yerushalayim in time in Nebuchadnezzar. Ela, Havu, Upaninu. They were there, and then they removed the bodies that cleared them out. So just like in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they cleared them out, so too by the Meitei Mabul, they cleared them out. So Hakanami, Havu, Upaninu. Also over here by the Mabul, they cleared them out. Well, Ifnu, if they cleared them out, Haifne, then why is Reish Lakish worried about Tumah anymore? Why by the Para Duma is he worried about the fact that it's Chutz Migita, it's Chutz L'Makom HaBadukla? Where it says, no, in the Hei, Ifnei Yerushalayim, Mikula Eretz Yisrael, Ifnei. We said they cleared it out. They cleared out Yerushalayim. They took all the Meitim out of Yerushalayim when it came to both the Meitim and Nebuchadnezzar at the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, as well as the Meitim of the Mabul that were found there. They cleared them out. But that was only true of Yerushalayim. That was a big undertaking to make sure that Yerushalayim was that way. Eretz Yisrael, that they didn't do. They didn't clear the whole Eretz Yisrael out. But the indications are that there was a Mabul. There were bodies there. They just took care of it. Iked Amre, there are some that say they posed the question the other way, which is Reish Lakish posed the question. Eitvei Reish Lakish of Yochanan. Ayei Meitei Mabul, Ayei Meitei Menubuchadnezzar. My lab, Midahani Havu, Hanu Nami Havu. The fact that the Rabbi Yeshua in his statement puts together both Meitei Mabul and Meitei Menubuchadnezzar, it's clear that Meitei Menubuchadnezzar were, in reality, were there. Well, if that's the case, then certainly it must be that the Meitei Mabul were also there. The question here of Reish Lakish is that obviously they were Meitei Mabul that came here, they just cleared them out. But it's not like that, when he says Ayei Meitei Mabul, it's not that there was never any Meitei Mabul here. Because obviously there were Meitei Menubuchadnezzar here. If there were Meitei Menubuchadnezzar, that means that also Meitei Mabul were here. They just did something about it. So that's the way Reish Lakish was reading it. My law, mitahani havu anu nami havu. Mitahiriya. No. Hadakite, vadakite. No, it's question of two different questions. One is, Aye Meite Mabul, they never happened. They were never, Yerushalayim was protected from Tumah because Meite Mabul never came there. Meite Nebuchadnezzar, they also cleared out, so there's also no Tumah there. So both of them are considered to be Tor, but for different reasons. One is because it never happened, the Meite Mabul. The other one is because it was cleared out afterwards, and that would be Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Etevei, we call Asher Ber Harava Meitu. Anything on dry land, die. Bishlam Adadidid Aminu Yerada Mabul Eretz Yisrael. I'm the one who said that the Mabul came to Eretz Yisrael, Mashum Hachi Meitu. That's why everybody on dry land died, because it went everywhere. Eladidach Amai Meitu. Why did the people in Eretz Yisrael die? There are people in Eretz Yisrael, the flood never reached there, the Mabul never reached there. Why did they die? So Mishum Havla. It died from the Hevel. You can call this loosely, we'll call it the steam. They came up, the low quality of air, the change in the quality of air, because of the Mabul, that caused the people even in Eretz Yisrael to die. Kedir Rav Chista. Damer Rav Chista, Birotchim Kilkilu, that they made mistakes, Birotchim, meaning that they, with the hot, they sinned. Ubirotchim Nidonu, and therefore they were punished in the hot waters. It means that the waters of the Mabul were hot. Now what does it mean, Bin Rotchim Kilkilu? And we saw this in Sanhedrin, there the Gemara in Perkei Chelek, Rashi explains, Birotchim Kilkilu is B'Shichvat Zera. Sorry about the Shichvat Zera. So they were Mekalkel, Bebia, Be'erva, and therefore they were punished, Birotchim, they were punished in the hot waters of the Mabul. Oh, the waters of the Mabul are hot, they also give off Hevel, they also give off a steam, or they change the quality of the air, and that choked out or killed the people that were in Eretz Yisrael, even though the waters never reached there. Dichtiv, I don't know that's true. It says here that the waters receded. It's in Yonah Dioma, Megillat Esther, it says that the anger of the king was quelled. It's over there, Shochecha is mean anger, is like fire, and Shochecha means that it was reduced, it was taken down, the fire was extinguished, the anger was extinguished. So it's over here when it says, Vashoku Amayim, the Mayim here not receded in the sense that it went back, but also receded in the sense that it cooled. The water went from being hot to cold. So that's how we know here that there was also Hevel associated with the Mabul. There are two things to say about it. Number one is, the Gemara in Baba Kama talks about that when it comes to a boar, what kills something that falls into a boar, is it Chavata, the impact on the boar, or Hevla? So over there, that's also the term Hevel is used over there, just to give you a sense of right, the air quality. We're talking about air quality here, and that the Hevel kills. That we know, the Gemara Baba Kama views it the way. The other thing to note is the Ramban. The Ramban in Noach asked the question, how could it be that before the time of Noach, everybody lived till 900 years, 800 years, 700 years, right after the Mabul? I know you have Avram Avinu lives by 175. Why is it that people's lives are shortened after the Mabul? And that's what the Ramban claims over here, was that the Teva changed, the air quality changed after the Mabul, the fact that people's lives were shortened. Before that, there was a pure air, it was a cleaner environment. The Mabul caused the environment or the air quality to change, and therefore people after the Mabul, their Teva, the Teva of the world and the Teva of the air had changed, and people died earlier because of that. Everything on the dry land died. What does it mean? Everything on the dry land died. Well, what do you mean? There was dry land left. So that's why people died. Even on the dry land, they died. What do you mean dry land? It says, what was dry land originally? Anybody who was on dry land originally died, which makes the most sense. That's Pashto Sakra. Right. Right. So why do they call it Charava? The fish in the sea were not killed in the Mabul. All that lived on dry land died. But not the fish that were in the sea. I mean, anything that was in the water that could survive in the water, that survived. It was only things that were out of the water that did not survive. Yeah, but we're worried about here, Kever Tahom. Kever Tahom is things that got buried underneath the Mabul, and we don't know that they're there. They got buried under the ground. Here, if they died on the Charava, they were all above ground, they would have known to clear them out. They would have known where the Tumah was. So here, we're worried about Kever Tahom, which is unknown Kvarim. So there's a difference between whether they were killed all the Charava, where you would know where their bodies are, versus if they're drowned in the Mabul, and then they're deposited at the bottom of the Mabul, and we don't know where they are after the Mabul recedes. All right, it's Bishlamo, the Mandamar, Lo Yerad, Mabul, Eretz Yisrael, Hainu Dekha. According to the one who says that the Mabul did not come to Eretz Yisrael, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, that's how the Rima survived. The one who says that it did come down to Eretz Yisrael, Rima Hechakam. How did the Rima survive? Now what is this Rima? It's a Rima, as Rashi says, it's a Re'im of some sort. It is a, we'll call it a wild ox. It's a very large animal that was unable to be placed into the Teva. It was too big for the Teva, but we know that it survived. So how did it survive? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, moved to Eretz Yisrael. That's how it survived. According to Reish Lakish, we don't know how it survived. You're going to say that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Hevel got to Eretz Yisrael. And how did it survive in Eretz Yisrael? So as it says, maybe it was tall enough. It was so big and tall that its head was above the parent where there was Hevel. And therefore it didn't... Right. Exactly. It's like almost like a dinosaur. It lived in Eretz Yisrael. Here, Tosfos quotes, there's a similar story about this Reim in the stories of Rabbi Bar Chana in Baba Batra. And over there, the gears of the Rabbi Yochanan is... Ofer Shel Re'im, the Ofer Ha'ilim, Mitagaminen or Zalila, the Ayilo. Over here we're talking about a Re'im, we're talking about an Ayil, we're talking about some sort of wild ox over here. But the Rabbeinu Shmuel, who's that? The Rabbeinu Shmuel, his brother, was the Rashbam, who is a commentary in Baba Batra, says over there that it was a dog ras. It was a large fish over that they were talking about, or Zila de Yama. Not Orzila de Rima, but rather Orzila de Yama. It was a fish, water animal over here. And it's clear, Tosa says over here that it wasn't talking about a water animal, because we said Mikol Sher Chavra Meitu. That means the Gemish Yam didn't die. If it was a water animal, then it wouldn't have died. So that's what the Gemara is clearly asking a question about a land animal. And then Tosfos asks the obvious question. You know, we've seen wild oxen. We've seen wild oxen in our day. None of them are that big. So he says Otam Buplish Shano Karim Re'im. Those that are animals that we call the Re'im here locally, the Buplish Leta. They are not a Chayav Chelbam Asur, and their Chaylev is Asur. They're really Behemot. They're not Chayot. First of all, the Re'im is definitely a Chaya, not a Behema, the Chalbo Mutar. So what we have amongst us, these Buplush, they're definitely Behemot, they're not Chayot. A Buplush, Shemekomeinu Kitanim, they're so small. Don't tell me we just got the small ones, they're much bigger ones. We just happen to get the small part of the species, but there's a much bigger part of the species somewhere else, because that's not the case. He says, that we use them for work. They're pulling carrots, they're pulling wagons. And they use them to plow. Reim la bar malochu, and the reim is a chayo. It's not a domesticated animal. It's not something that's used for work. So it says definitely these buplish that we call the reim, they're not the reim that's being discussed here in the Gemara. So it's just interesting that they're trying to apply an agadata of reim to this animal that they know as the reim, and he says that's just not what it is. So the solution for Reish Lakish is that Noach guriot tichnisu b'teva. He took in young cubs, whelps, into the teva that he brought in the little ones. He didn't take a full grown reim. And there he took little babies in with him. They only had to be there for a year. They were okay. It says, "V'amar Rabbi Bar Chana l'didi chazili urzila derima." I saw this urzila derima, and here the girsa of the Rashbam was urzila deyama. So over here, that's where Rabbeinu Tam says, "Look, I can prove to you it's not urzila deyama. Here it's urzila derima." Bat yoma, it was one day old. V'avei kahar tavor, it was the size of Mount Tavor. That's what you see when you go up towards the Kinneret. When you're driving up there, you pass by Har Tavor. Har Tavor, kama avyo. How big is Har Tavor? 40 parsot. Mashcho de savre, it's the length of its neck, the extent of its neck was klata parse, was 3 parsot. Marbata de resha, the square of its head, but it means where it rested its head, parso palgo, was a parse and a half where it put its head down. So if that's the case, then obviously it didn't fit into the teva. If it's bat yomat, that size, even if he took little whelps or cubs, it's not going to fit into the teva. Rama, if you remember here from the Gemara in Baba Batra, over there it says, Rama, here it's kabo or kufta, it dropped some excrement. And plugged the whole yardane up. I mean, it went to the bathroom and it plugged the whole yardane up. It was so big. There's the size of this animal, even when it's a bat yoma, it's one day old. Therefore, you couldn't have taken in, there's no way Noach could have taken it into the teva. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rosho Yichniso the teva, stuck its head so that it could breathe. He put his head into the teva, and that kept him alive. It says, Vamamar Marbata Dereshir Parso Palgo. Then wait a minute, didn't you just say that the extent of its head was a parsa and a half? That couldn't fit into the teva. Ela Rosh Chotmo, that he had the top of his nostril. The end of his nostril, so that he could breathe. His nostril had his air tube in there. That's how he stayed alive. So it says, Lo Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Wait a minute. That was just an answer from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan just said, Rosho Hichnisu L'Teva, or Rosh Chodmo Hichnisu L'Teva. Why does Rabbi Yochanan need that? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. He could have said the Re'im was hanging out in Eretz Yisrael. It says, the Divrei Reish Lakish Kamar. That he was doing according to Reish Lakish. He's saying, look, for Reish Lakish, this is how the Re'im survived. So Mer says, wait a minute, Vahaka Sagya Teva. Doesn't the Teva bob along the water? So how could it keep its nostril attached to the air hole there? It goes, it floats along the top. Also, I would have said, and Rashi mentions this somewhat, that the Teva had to be waterproof. It had to be sealed in order to be waterproof. If they had to put in a hole of some sort to allow them to breathe, it was no longer waterproof. It was no longer watertight. So Amar Rabbi Yish Lakish, Karnav Kashru B'Teva. They tied its horns to the Teva and dragged it along with it, the Teva. So Amar Rav Chista, Anshei Dor HaMabul, Brotchim Kil Kolu, Brotchim Nidonu. Alright, great. Now if he's not inside the Teva, you drag him along the side, the waters are boiling hot. He would have died just because the waters were boiling hot. So he says, Tamech, Teva, Hev Rasagyo. How did the Teva float? If the waters were so hot, they would have, let's say, melted the tar that was outside of the Teva, and it would no longer have been waterproof. I mean, the waterproofing is good for cold water. It's not good for hot waters. So then how did the Teva say? Vog, Og Melech HaBashan Echinkai, the famous Medrash, that Og Melech HaBashan survived the Mabul, because it says, Vayavo HaPalit. Was it Palit that he survived the Mabul? Where was Og Melech HaBashan? He wasn't in the Teva either. Ela Neis Nase Lehem Shenitztanu B'tzidei HaTeva. There was a part of the Neis of the Mabul was that the waters around the Teva remained cool. In order, first of all, that the Teva would remain waterproof. Number two is that the Re'im and the Og Melech HaBashan would survive. The waters around the Teva were cold. So therefore, if they tied his horns to the Teva and dragged it along with it, he'd be in the cold waters. That would keep his head above the water. And Og Melech HaBashan, the same thing. What about the Hevel? So again, both of them were giants. Og Melech HaBashan and the Re'im were giants, and therefore they were above the Hevel. They were above that area that would have caused the bad air that would have caused them to die. The Reish Lok, Yishalim Shimon, Yachosh, Ninami, the Yorad, Mabul, Eretz Yisrael, Veloha, Lo, Pash, said, okay, fine, the Mabul went to Eretz Yisrael, but didn't it recede? Didn't it leave there? Damar Reish Lokish, Lamanik, Rashma, Mitzula, why is Bavel called a Mitzula, Shekol, Meitei, Mabul, Nitztalalu, Desham? Because all the Meitei, Mabul came there and they were dropped there. Mitzula, I mean, like a net that it catches or captured everything. Because it's a low area, they always looked at Bavel. Whenever the Gemara talks about Bavel, they see Bavel is a very low-lying land. It's a fertile area, but very low-lying land. So one of the ideas was here that all the Meitei Mabul came to Bavel. Why was it such a fertile land? Because all the dead of the Mabul were deposited there. So the land was well fertilized with all the bodies that had been deposited over there. So that's what it means, Mitzula, that it captured all the bodies flowed there. So even according to Reish Lakish, this is Reish Lakish himself saying this, that all the bodies that were died in the Mabul were deposited in Bavel. So why is he worried about it so? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lamanik Rashma Shin'ar, why is it called Shin'ar? Meitei Mabul Nin Aru L'sham. All the Meitei Mabul were dragged over or moved to that location. So Mar says, E.F. Shar Dlo Irdbiku. Obviously, it's impossible that every single one of the Meitei Midbar ended up down in Bavel, in the valleys of Bavel. But rather, Irdbiku, there were some that got stuck along the way. They didn't make it through the mountain pass. They didn't make it over here. Some of the bodies remained in Eretz Yisrael. What we're talking about here is the road. Most of the bodies made it to Bavel, but there were some that did remain behind in Eretz Yisrael. Those were the problems of Kever to home for Reish Lakish. Amar Rabbi Bo, Lamani Kram Mashma Shin'ar. Why is the Bavel called Shin'ar? Shimna Eret Ashireha. Because it shakes down its rich people. Bahaka Chazina Dahavu. We see there are wealthy people in Bavel. So what do you mean it shakes down its rich people? Where it says, Klata Dari Lo Mashre. There's no wealth that stays in a family for more than three dorot, for three generations. And the wealth always disappears after three generations because Bavel shakes down its rich. And Rashi over here brings the Gemara that why is it that the people of Bavel were not able to hold onto their wealth? And that's because B'nei She'ein Merachmim Ala Briot. They are not kind to others. They do not do chesed with others. That the people of the wealthy people of Gehinom, since they were not balei tzedaka, they did not take care of their fellow man. Therefore, they were nidonim the Gehinom, but also they got lost their wealth because Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu only gives wealth to those who distribute it to others, and that's the famous Or Chaim in Parshat Mishpatim that says im kesef talvet ami, if one lends money to his fellow Jew. Over here, the Or Chaim, in speaking about tzedaka, says, why is it that Hashem gives so much money to one person and another individual has nothing? They don't even have clothes on their back. They don't have enough for their bread, for the food, for their family. So the Or Chaim says over there that the person who doesn't have the money was punished for whatever reason they were punished and they lost their parnasa. But when they lose their parnasa, that parnasa just doesn't disappear into thin air. This is Newton's law of the conservation of energy, which means that if their parnasa was lost, that it went to someone else. That their parnasa was given to someone else. So if you see someone wealthy beyond and they have beyond what their needs are and whatever the needs of their family are, someone so wealthy, that means that they were given someone else's parnasa. If they're given someone else's parnasa, that means that Hashem expects that individual to give the parnasa back to those individuals, to give it back to those poor people. That's what the Or Chaim says, that you must distribute that money. Hashem Hashem is putting a pikadon with you to give back to them. They are going to get their parnosa, these poor people, not from Hashem, but from someone else. And that's the busha chlima. That's the punishment that they'll get it from these wealthy people. And that's why the word staka comes the word tzedek. Meaning tzedek, meaning midin. Staka is not chesed, it's din. You must return the money to who it belongs to. The parnosa of these individuals that was given to you, you now must return it to them. And that's why it's called staka, of tzedek, of din. So to over here, these wealthy people who didn't care, no merachmim ala briyot, didn't take care of others, then in the end, Hashem strips them of their wealth. Because they're not using their wealth for the why Hashem gave it to them. Hashem gave it to them because they have other people's parnos. They have other people's parnos, so they need to distribute it and give it to them. They hold it all for themselves, then they're not taking care of the pikadon that Hashem gave them, and they're punished for having their wealth taken away from them. Amar Amiyami, kol ochel miofrosh shel bavel, kiyul ochel basar avutav. Anybody who eats from the earth, the dirt, the fields of Babel, if he's eating from the flesh of his forefathers, meaning that the deposits of the bamboo were there in Babel, and they would fertilize the land there. Tanei nami ochel kol ochel miofrosh shel bavel, kiyul ochel basar avutav, yoshamim kiyul ochel shkatzim v'arimasim. So it's if he ate shkatzim v'arimasim, it's if he ate things that one would not consume, things that are tamei, things that are improper. This idea that all the meitei of bamboo were deposited there, if you grow something there, if you eat of the produce of Bavel, then you're eating of the derivative of the meitei mabul. And so that would be, quote-unquote, inappropriate. Sira Mishtalech. So this is the next thing in the Mishnah. We just dealt with the para aduma. The next thing mentioned in our Mishnah is the Sira Mishtalech, that if you do the Sira Mishtalech b'chutz, then you're not chayav v'shchutei chutz. Viri minhi. O karban. It says in the psukim, in Perek Yud Zayin, which is talking about shchutei chutz and male b'chutz, there it says the pasuk O karban. So these are the things that you're not allowed to do outside. So when it says O karban, what does it mean in the pasuk? O betach omei lo hebiyo, lakiv korban la'ashem, lifnei mishkan Hashem, dam yechashev le'ishahu, dam shafach, nechrat ha'ishahu mikerev amo. Very many. O karban, the word O doesn't appear in the pasuk. It's just the word karban that appears in the pasuk, not O karban. There's O zavach in pasuk chet, and the word karban appears in pasuk dalet. So you have to take a pick. Either it's O zavach, or it's the word karban over here. Shomei ani afilu kodshei bedek habayit nikru'u karban. Maybe I should include here kodshei bedek habayit that are called a karban. Shenemar nikrivit karban Hashem. It says by the milchemet Midian, when Bnei Yisrael go to fight Midian, they bring back the spoils of war. And over there it says nikrivit karban Hashem, that they give the spoils of war to Hashem, to Kodesh, to the Kohanim. So over there they called it a karban, even though we're talking about clearly some things that were kodesh bedek habayit. So tamar lomar ve'el petach omoed lo hevio. That's the beginning of the pasuk, which means Mishra Uy Lavo Bomid, Yatsu Kochi Bedakabayit Shein Roim. That excludes Kochi Bedakabayit. They never come. They don't come Petachol Moed. So therefore, they're not going to be a problem of Shkutei Chutz. Otsiat Elu Shein Roim. I'm going to exclude Bedakabayit that are not too Uy to come to Omoed. Velo Otsiat Asir Mishtaleach. But I will not exclude Asir Mishtaleach. Shura Uy Lavo Petachol Moed. It does come to Petachol Moed, the Seir and Mishtaleach. Tamalomar Lashem. It says there in the Pasuk, Akriv Kaban Lahashem. Let Lashem come to teach you Otsi Seir Mishtaleach. Because it's not designated for Hashem. So what do we have a problem here? Our Mishnah states the reason that the Seir Mishtaleach, you're not chayav for Shchutei Chutz, is because it says Ve'el Pedach Omoed Lo Hevio. We have a braita here that says that the reason the Seir Mishtaleach is not chayav Shchutei Chutz is because of the word Lashem. So which one is it? Mar says Lokasha. Kan Kodem Hagrala. Kan Achar Hagrala. It depends when you bump into the Seir Mishtaleach. Before the lottery, we don't know which of the two Seirim is going to end up being the Seir Lashem, and which one's going to be the Seir Mishtaleach. So because of that, it is Ra'oi Lavo LePetach HaMoed. Well, if it's Ra'oi Lavo LePetach HaMoed, then I need the word Lashem to exclude it. On the other hand, after the Hagrala is done, then we know which one is the Seir Mishtaleach, which one's the Seir Lashem. Therefore, it's no longer Ra'oi Lavo LePetach HaMoed, and that's what our Mishnah is discussing. Our Mishnah is discussing a Seir Mishtaleach after the lottery that's done, after it's chosen to be the Seir Mishtaleach. The reason there, you're not Chayav Shkutei Chutz, because El Petach HaMoed Lo Hevio. Before the Hagrala, what's the reason that you're not Chayav? Is because of the word La Hashem. La Hashem teaches us that before the Hagrala, even though it is Ra'oi Lavo LePetach HaMoed, nevertheless, it's you're not Chayav for Shchutei Chutz in that instance. Ragma says, wait a minute, after Hagrala, it's not Ra'oi Lavo LePetach HaMoed, Vayika Vidui. You have to do the Vidui on the Seir Mishtaleach. The Kohen Gadol does Vidui on the head of the Seir Mishtaleach before he sends it out. So it is Ra'oi LePetach HaMoed. Alam Rav Mani, Lokasha, Kan Kodem Vidui, Kam Achar Vidui. It's one is before Vidui, one is after Vidui. Now, there are actually three stages for the Seir Mishtaleach. There's a Seir Mishtaleach before the lottery. There's a Seir Mishtaleach after the lottery, before the Vidui, and then there's a Seir Shaleach after the Vidui, they'll each of them have three different dinim. The Seir before the Hagralah, before the lottery, Chayav, Shchutei Chutz. Chayav, that's the Gemara in Yoma that we quoted before, that if you do the Shnei Seirim before the Hagralah, if you take them and do Shchutei Chutz, you're Chayav, because it can be used for the Seir Bachutz. It can be used for something else. You have yet to be Koveya, the shame on these animals, until you do the Hagralah. And therefore, the Re'uim, the Vod Petach Omeid, and your Chayav, it's done before the Hagralah. If it's done after the Hagralah, before the Vidui. So after the Hagralah, it's already designated as a Seir Lemishtaleach, therefore you can no longer use it for another Korban. Nevertheless, it's still Ra'oi Lepetach Omeid, because it can be brought Lepetach Omeid to do the Vidui. So there I need the Pasuk of Lashem to teach me that you're not Chayav. If you do Shchut Eichutz and Seir Mishtaleach before the Vidui, you're not Chayav because of the word Lashem. After the Vidui is completed, there if the Seir Mishtaleach again, if you do Shchut Eichutz, you're also Patur, but because of the Lepetach Omeid, Lo Yivio. Because at that point, it's not Ra'oi Lepetach Omeid anymore. What are you going to do with the Seir Mishtaleach after the Vidui? You're going to send it out. It's not supposed to come back to the Lepetach Omeid at all. And over there, the miut will be from El Petach Omeid Lo Hevio. In the end, Tosu says, listen, if I already excluded it from the word Lashem before the Vidui, Kal Vachomer that it's excluded after the Vidui, what do I need El Petach Omeid for at all? So that's what Tosu discusses over here about what's the necessity of Petach Omeid Lo Hevio. In the end, he says, maybe it's for the Parah Duma. Lashem will exclude the Seir Lemeshtaleach because it'll be a Kal Vachomer. If it's excluded before the Vidui, then certainly it's excluded after the Vidui. And we need El Petach Omeid Lo Hevio, even though the word Lashem should also apply to the Parah Duma. Wait a minute. The Parah Duma is also not Lashem. It's not outside of the Machaneh. So why isn't it excluded from the word Lashem? So we have to say that the Parah Duma might be different because it was Kodshei Bedek Habayit. Since it's Kodshei Bedek Habayit, that is considered Miyuchadim Lashem. That is Lashem Hashem. The Seir Mishtaleach was clearly sent out of the Machaneh, thrown off a cliff somewhere else. That is not done Lashem. On the other hand, when it comes to the Parah Duma, which is Kodshei Bedek Habayit, it's still, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, classified as a Chatat. It's called the Parat Chatat. Still classified as being Lashem, even though it's Kodshei Bedek Habayit. And so because of that, we need El Petach Omeid Lo Hevio to exclude the Parat Chatat, and we need the word Lashem to exclude the Seir HaMishtaleach. And that's why it also concludes why we need both of them over here. And at worst, he says, even if we would say that the Parat Chatat is excluded from Lashem, we still need El Petach Omeid Lo Hevio to teach us about the Mute Gaga Heichal. If you remember that, we learned that earlier in the Perek, about whether by Ula and Rava, the Machlokas of whether Gaga Heichal was problematic in terms of Shchut Eichutz. And they learned it out of El Petach Omeid Lo Hevio. They learned it out of that pasuk. So either as a Ribo or a Miut, learned it out of that pasuk. So therefore, we would need El Petach Omeid just for that, even if it doesn't exclude any items of being Shchut Eichutz. Okay, we'll stop over here.